You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
White and Blue CFL podcast. I guess this is once a month now. We actually did have a show 3 weeks ago, but due to technical difficulties, this was lost into nether space. I think that's the second time that's happened to us in four seasons. Let me introduce our co-hosts who were at the last show and who were marvelous. It's a shame that no one will ever hear it. Joe Pritchard. Joe. How have you been this past month?
That was the best show we ever did.
I know. It was awesome. It's incredible.
Just gone. Just gone. You'll just have to imagine us making intelligent points, having some very sharp disagreements back and forth. It was really a blast.
Come on. What about the surprise appearance by Doug Flutie and Warren Moon?
Oh, jeez.
It was. I mean, we had the
way to burst the illusion.
I was aggrandizing the illusion. Also with Joe and I this week, as always, is our compatriot. He's never met a single point he doesn't like. He's also known as Dr. Rouge. Dr. Rouge, how are you doing?
You might say that podcast had some order to it, and then the technology led to some chaos and anarchy, but that's an inside joke, and we'll just keep right on going.
No, because the recording that Mr. Pritchard's machine made actually was complete order. It was zero. It was blank. It was a complete vacuum. So it was no chaos.
So that's why Kim Jong-un was smiling the next day.
Exactly. Oh. This is why our Skype connection rarely works as well. In any case, getting on to the CFL football, getting on to the Canadian football talk, I've been prompted to lead the show with the banner headline, Calgary wins the Grey Cup, or rather wins the bid to host the Grey Cup in 2019. I don't know if this was a big surprise to many fans, many observers of the CFL, pretty well expected, considering that most of the cities that haven't gotten this thing lately aren't really among the league's bigger draws. Hey, Joe, do you got a hot take on a very unhot subject?
Just maybe that secret keeping could have been a little bit better if they actually wanted some drama in this.
Well, process of elimination kind of kills the drama. Doctor, what do you got on this one?
Well, you know, to me, the question becomes, and I agree with your idea, Oz, that it doesn't seem like a whole lot of competitors were lining up. Does this decision to bring Calgary or to make Calgary host in 19 essentially confirm already that if Saskatchewan wants to, or more specifically Regina wants to host in 20, that it will? Because again, that was the only city that from the outside looking in, you might have said, new stadium, why not?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, the NFL mentality would be, we got to show off the new stadium. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the no-brainer for 2020. And I'm sure I could probably put money down on this. Joe, would you put your money down on that? I sure would.
Probably be one of the better bets we've made.
All right, we're getting ready for a new season of CFL Pick'em. Hey, is it June yet? Almost. Right, let's see. Okay, so I actually had as the next item on my list, who gets the Grey Cup in 2020? I think that's pretty fairly answered, Saskatchewan. I guess unless they're full steam ahead on Halifax by then, but they'd really have to be ahead of the curve.
Well,
all
see,
right,
that
let's
to
see.
Me opens up Halifax for 21.
Yeah. Yeah, see, again, I think all the blocks are kind of falling into place. What kind of suspense could be drummed up, Joe?
Well, if Hamilton ever gets its act together, that could change things. You could still have You could still have a city like Vancouver not having had it from 2014 on. It could start to step in there 2020, 2021, but really, it seems pretty cut and dry. Your 2020 call is pretty clear to me.
Yep. Okay, right. What else can we talk? So that's the future. At present, we've got the mini camps being open around the CFL. We've got lots of glowing stories on CFL.ca. But as I understand it, Dr. Ruse, you want to pick on Montreal Alouettes coach, former NFL coach Mike Sherman, a little bit.
Well, my concern about Sherman coaching another team in another league while this mini camp is going on. Look, if he'd been a CFL, if he's Wally Buono, for example, who's been in the league for, you know, decades, knows the league, knows the players, you might say, okay, this is an opportunity for a coach to perhaps be doing some scouting on the side. But you're talking about a guy who's new to the league, who's not been coaching at the professional level as a head coach for a few seasons, with a team that clearly needs a lot of attention and a lot of work. I can't buy into the idea that Mike Sherman did the Owls any favors by not having his absolute laser-like focus on this team, especially in this being his first year as coach.
Joe, you got a take on this? Because I do.
I mean, we've seen how many times have we seen this as CFL fans? A team goes out, gets a name coach from south of the border, gets a name quarterback from south of the border, and goes directly into the crapper. That's a likely scenario anyway. So just adding more fuel to the fire by doing this just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It does make sense from one angle, and I'm going to disagree with the doctor on one point. Mike Sherman did the Montreal Alouettes at least one favor, and that is taking this job.
Mm-hmm.
I think no.
No, I agree.
Laugh it up, fuzzball, as they said in Star Wars. But you know, the point is that nobody, I think, honestly wanted this job. Name coach as it may be. This dude was a high school coach not that long ago. Now he's in a semi-pro league. He was supposed to be, Joe, you may remember this, he was supposed to be one of the coaches along with Campo in this new league in which a couple of CFL players were supposed to play a part. Do you remember this league, Joe, from a couple of years ago?
Very vaguely.
Right. They announced the league and it never got passed to a couple of meetings with 12 dudes sitting in folded chairs around a table. Right? This was what our esteemed head coach, Mr. Sherman, was supposed to be doing this season. You know, playing in some watered-down XFL. I mean, the thing is, like, I honestly believe no one wanted this job, and I don't believe he's taking it seriously. And it's funny that you guys are saying the team goes in the toilet because it's already there.
Mm.
You know, the thing is, it's funny. Also on the docket for this episode, we had the signing of Henok Mwamba back to the Alouettes, for whom he played 4 games a couple of seasons ago after coming back from the Indianapolis Colts practice squad and whatnot. But I mean, this is the only dude who you can arguably say is in his prime right now and also has some value because he's a Canadian that was signed by the Alouettes in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's like this season as a fan, I'm writing off this season already. As a fan in Pick'em, I can tell you right now, go against the Alouettes right now. All 18 games, all 20 weeks. Bet against them in the bye. They'll lose. You know,
and your comment about Sherman and not taking it seriously is, I think to some extent, you and I were saying the same thing without necessarily saying the exact same words.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it makes me wonder, you know, is Mike Sherman going to be a half-year coach? Help me remember here, guys, the former Boise State head coach who went up to Montreal and was there for half a season and got blown out.
Dan Hawkins.
Dan Hawkins, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. You know, are we looking at another Dan Hawkins situation where someone is there, you know, a half a year maybe? You know, I just think Mike Sherman owes his primary employer a little more dedication, perhaps, than he showed in simply, you know. And again, maybe this was something that the franchise knew about in advance, and they were, you know, they were going to be acceptable to it, and it was part of the contract and all of that. But if that was the case, then I think they also owed the fans an explanation to say, hey, listen, we're aware of this in advance, and we signed off on it. Because it sure looks like from the outside looking in that it's like, yeah, Montreal, I'll be back. You know, just don't worry. I'll be there.
Well, I've got a rather bold prediction about where this is all going. You gentlemen care to hear it. Okay. So this is a topic that's going to come up a little bit later in the show anyway. But I don't believe we're going to see Cavis Reed or Mike Sherman be part of the Montreal Alouettes organization after this season. And this is just me going completely off a gut feel here. And maybe having listened to a couple of podcasts that brought up some ideas of this morning, but I believe that next year the big chief over in Montreal is going to be Ken Austin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because think that about because he's already he took a step back last year away from head coaching. And even then, he was saying, I'm primarily a coach. That's my passion. That's what I want to do. He takes another step back this offseason. Now he's a consultant for the last year of his contract. Well, that contract ends after the season. Cavis Reed is not likely going to have a great track record. And Montreal loves the name guys anyway. So what better way to scratch a couple of itches for Montreal than to, after this season is a disaster, clean the slate again, bring in Ken Austin, have Austin bring in his people, and you restart the Alouettes that way next year. I think this year, like Oz is saying, is already a wasted year anyway, so maybe that's what the plan is eventually here.
I can get on board behind that idea. But again, this is without trying to make fun of the Alouettes franchise, because let's face it, it was the elite of the league for a few years there. Is this something that Montreal could find a way to screw up under its current iteration?
The easiest way to screw that up is to actually win games this year.
Well, maybe Mike Sherman
I have
could
something,
stay away more often.
I have something else to say about that. I was listening to Posky Wee Wee this morning, which is where the idea kind of crystallized, and they were mentioning that Drew Willey was looking like the best quarterback in Montreal during the minicamp. So that should tell you something about the level of talent they have going right now at the quarterback position.
All right. And,
not to make fun of Drew Willey, but let's face it, you know, Josh Freeman was brought in with the whole idea of NFL quarterback experience, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the list of former NFL quarterbacks who quickly became former CFL quarterbacks, you know, I think we're at like page 8 of a single space document at this point.
Speaking of which, I think it's Vince Ferragamo's birthday. I think I saw that on Twitter today.
Happy birthday, Vince Ferragamo. Joe, thanks very much. You made me a little bit more optimistic about the medium-term future. Not so much... This makes total sense, connecting the dots. I mean, the truth is there's only so many quality guys in the CFL, and the truth is like the more experience you've already racked up, the more likely it is you are one of those few people. So yeah, I can see this. I can see this. I can see June Jones saying, "This Tiger Cats team is mine," and be done with it. Yeah, sure. What do you see in the crystal ball for Wally Buono, who seems to be being put in the same backpedaling situation that Ken Austin was last year and this year? Buono's just going to retire straight up, right?
That's my thought, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where would you put your money on that one, Doctor?
Gosh, I'd like to see Buono go out on something resembling, you know, a season like 2 years ago where they were competitive and you know, again, they got wiped out by Calgary in the Western Division Final. I get that, but they were a competitive, good team that year. You know, sadly, somebody in the West has to finish fifth, and I think it's going to be BC, and I think that inevitably means that Wally Buono does not go out on the kind of high that a guy like him really deserves.
And okay, so what happens with Ken Austin this year? He just kind of fades into nothingness. I mean, already they've got him in the trunk, let's say, of the car. He's just gonna slowly disappear. What do you see, Joe?
Yeah, I don't think we hear much about Ken Austin for the rest of the season. And I wouldn't go as far as to say that he'd be preparing to move on to a team, but still, I mean, he's going to be doing what he does. He's going to be paying attention to the league and paying attention to who's available. But at the same time, you've got June Jones pretty much in the driver's seat in Hamilton right now. I don't see Austin needing to step in there much at all.
So why is he still around? Pay on to the fans, or because they don't want him to be on any other club, or what?
It could very well be. Might just be his contract doesn't expire until the end of the season, for all we know. That's where my theory about next year's coming, is because I don't see any reason why you keep him on as a consultant unless he's still under contract and you just don't want anybody else to have him for the moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Let's move back to, I guess, the team we talked ahead of the show. Let's talk Stampeders ball on Monday, April 23rd. That's a couple of days before we recorded this. Offensive lineman Pierre Levatu of the Montreal Alouettes, of the Calgary Stampeders, retired. First-round draft pick in 2014. He played for the Stampeders to date. Last real Grey Cup winning team that year was all CFL in 2015. Spent the next year and a half, season and a half, down with injury, and decided to call it a day. Wave of the future, it seems like, in professional football. And unfortunate, because LeVar too seemed to be the last of a dying breed of old-fashioned offensive linemen. And by that I mean, you know, those who could still block on the conventional game. Doctor, what do you think?
Well, you know, to me, you know, when you think about the sort of reshaping of the offensive line and the defense in Calgary a couple of years back, Labertu seemed to be the guy around whom the offensive line was going to be built, and Alex Singleton, the middle linebacker, seemed to be the guy that the defense was going to be built around. One out of two of those has, you know, certainly come to fruition. Just, you know, I understand players are walking away earlier than ever before. And with what we know with concussions and that sort of thing, you know, it certainly makes sense. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, he had that sort of look, all offensive linemen have toughness, don't misunderstand me. But there was something about Lavertu that said, you may beat me on this one play, but I'm going to smother you on the next 10. And quite often he delivered that way when he played.
Mm-hmm. I was just coming from this on that. There's a lot of schools nowadays. You know, you hear this thing about scheme quarterback so often. Well, the thing is, when you have one of these colleges that runs so many, you know, five wides or quarterback option plays, so many of these plays is the offensive lineman gets into the three-point stance, the ball is snapped, stand up, plays over for him. You know, ball's already in motion. No more blocking necessary. So many, and I've seen this from scouts. I saw this on the Insider at ESPN. Are, you know, saying the quality of offensive linemen is going through the floor coming out of colleges. Joe, what do you got on any of this?
Well, you could certainly be right about the way the game is trending. As far as Calgary goes, they've had a few offensive linemen already over the past few years that have had to leave the game a lot sooner than they probably wanted to due to injury. But man, they keep coming up with somebody to replace them. So we'll see how long that pipeline continues. But if it was anybody else but Calgary, I'd worry a little bit more about losing a guy like that.
Right. On the other hand, we have to remember... last season, of course, this was the statistically the top offensive line in the CFL. Season before that, of course, this was an all-time top 5 or 10 offensive line in the CFL. And yet, for example, last year they had 11 different combinations on that line through the season. So, yeah, if there's ever a plug-and-play offensive line in this league, it's Calgary. But you got to think all good things come to an end at some point. And you wonder when they hit that. Now, as we were discussing this item before the show, Dr. Rouge came up with a neat suggestion for the Stampeders. And I see no reason for this not to happen, knowing the Stamps. Peter Diakowski was one of four released yesterday. So I guess that would be Tuesday the 24th by the revolving door Rough Riders over there in Saskatchewan. You know, again, they also cut a veteran Canadian safety, Jeff Hecht, which surprised me because, after all, he's a seven-year veteran and he's a Canadian. But what do you know about Chris Jones? Okay, Dr. Rouge, a pretty easy case to make. Diakowski to Calgary, why not?
I think it works for a couple of reasons. One, you're talking about, you know, a veteran. So, you know, there you talk about schemes and guys who have you know, played for a lot of coaches and whatnot and a lot of different formations. He's not going to be sort of overwhelmed by what takes place. Second, he might be literally the smartest guy in the Canadian Football League in terms of just raw intelligence. And so for his ability to just step in and be a player on that line, almost be an extra coach to some of the younger players, I think that makes sense. And let's face it, although he was in Saskatchewan or with Saskatchewan only a year, there is a knowledge base of what that team was doing on the offensive side of the ball that both he and Derek Dennis, who has come back to Calgary, both of whom could perhaps provide a little bit of input or two. You know, even if Diakowski is not, you know, an 18-game starter and plays 80 game or 80 plays a game, you know, I think logically it says that'd be a great fit.
Yeah, it was a good call by you. Very good. Very good call, Doctor. I got to say, and I just want to tell the audience that ding that you heard was not actually me. I would like to be Tony Reale, and I do wish this were around the horn, but alas, it is not. However, Doctor, I will give you a couple of points for what you just said, for what it's worth.
Well, I thought maybe that was Diakowski calling in. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Ding, good answer. I know. He listens to the show. He's a devoted Rouge, White, and Blue listener. Right. Okay. What else do we have here? Okay. It looks like we've covered all the points except for one point that Dr. Rouge wanted to make. Okay. So let's see. On my notes I have here. Oh, yes. Okay. So Dr. Rouge put forth, quote, Ticats camp roster has no number two jersey assigned. Okay, can you parse this out for us, Doctor? What are you implying here?
I may not be implying anything. I may be stating it pretty boldly. I forget who it was, but somebody posted on Twitter yesterday, which was Tuesday the 24th, right? Yeah, that he or she had acquired a copy of the Ticats minicamp roster. And you go down the list and there's a number one and a number three and a number four and a number five and so. And missing quite obviously was a number two. And I mean, let's face it, Derek Jeter isn't going there. Right? All right. And Tom Lasorda, the former Dodgers manager, he ain't going there. You know, Chad Owens would be a very popular number two going there, but I wonder if the Ticats are still holding out hope, oh Lord, that you know who, Johnny Manziel, might end up wearing a Ticats uniform this year. And if he does, my reply is basically like Nancy Kerrigan when she got clobbered on the knee, why?
Yeah, if we already got the game show sounds going, we might as well add this one.
I thought you were gonna go for a wop 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 wop.
That could work too.
That could work too. Uh-huh. I mean, here's what I don't understand: why? I mean, you know, it's one of two things. It's either, folks, listen, we're bringing him in, end of story, or we have no interest in bringing him in. End of story. This sort of childlike dance you know, we are going to ask, we're not going to ask, he will be on the team. You know, make a decision, announce what it is, and be done with it. Jeremiah Mazzoli doesn't need the ghost of Johnny Manziel over his shoulder if that ghost isn't going to be there. Put up or shut up, and let's be done with this whole concept.
Interesting.
Okay, I've gotten my rage out now.
Right, so that was, we're just doing our duty as Americans reporting on the Canadian Football League, the Manziel stories of the week. Will he, won't he, in the CFL? I thought it was funny. I caught a great headline on the official website of TSN, for those not in Canada, for those not in the know, that's sort of the ESPN of Canada, over at the official site for TSN, that's tsn.ca. I thought this was brilliant. I've never seen a headline with a more lukewarm headline before. And here it is. I wrote it down. It's, quote, Manziel proves he's not beyond reclamation. Like, wow, really? Okay, I guess. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And this is followed by about 180 words of nothing, and an unclaimed credit. No writer credit. So fantastic stuff. As you can see, the folks at TSN are just as excited as we are, and even more excited than our friends in Canada, who really don't want to hear about this story anymore. I don't know. Why am I not as irritated about this story as everybody else, Joe? Why am I not?
I think deep down you may actually want this to happen, so we have something to talk about on a weekly basis.
Well, you know, it happens every year. There's that dead period in June, in July, when all that's happening in American sports is baseball, and it's halfway through the season, and fans in about all but six markets don't care. And then they start, you know, ESPN and such, Fox News even, starts reporting on the wacky CFL story. Well, just imagine, I mean, they'd get the Hamilton Tiger Cat score on SportsCenter every week.
I mean, look, let's think about a year ago, there was talk about Vince Young coming back and going to play for the Rough Riders. You know, Vince Young was 34. He had an okay NFL career, nothing that, you know, would make you sort of stand up and go, wow. But I don't think anybody looked at Vince Young and went, oh, Lord, he's a joke. I think it was, hey, right, you know what? If this guy can do something, he could actually be an asset to the Rough Riders. I mean, imagine a guy, if he still had his legs like he did when he was in college, running around the field and just being an absolute menace to defenses. Vince Young, you could say, okay, he's going to make a team better. He's not going to be a distraction. He's not going to be a bad guy in the locker room. I can't say Manziel makes Hamilton better. I can't say that Manziel is going to make the team more cohesive. I can say, from the outside looking in, he's going to be a gigantic distraction. And again, I'm not running the show up there in Hamilton, but I wouldn't want anything to do with this guy.
Wow. See, wow. I mean, doesn't... all right, well, it's kind of late to be opening this can of worms, but what the hell, it's open. Toothpaste ain't going back in the tube. Doesn't all of this presume that June Jones can't control the situation?
I accept that, but also let's be honest. If the three of us are covering the team on a daily or a weekly basis,
right,
and let's just say hypothetically, with all of the expectations that exist with that franchise right now, the East is very winnable, and as it has been the last few years, and based on the finish that the Ticats had last year, you can make a realistic case that they ought to be the Eastern Division favorites right now. I know Toronto won the Grey Cup. So Let's say hypothetically, and I don't have a copy of their schedule in front of me, so, you know, but let's say they start off something like 1-3. Okay. And let's say that Zoli has played well enough, but not great. You and I and everyone else is suddenly thinking, spark on offense. You think maybe Manziel could provide that? Maybe they need a spark on offense. You think Manziel could apply it? And June Jones is going to get that question every day. Mazzoli's going to get that question every day. The second that we see Manziel take snaps with the first team offensive line and receivers, it's going to be, oh, guess what? It's a circus you just don't need.
This is a team that started 0-8 last year and came within a couple of weeks of making the playoffs. This week, I'm looking at the schedule right now. This week, they have a bye after week 4. They also have a bye after week 9. Okay?
Right. To remember, there's 3 byes this year.
Right. Well, there you go. But those are the relevant ones. I don't believe that you're going to turn it around if you have a bye in week 17, which
Agreed.
The Tiger Cats do. Okay? So at that point, even in the East, you're probably not going to improve your position that much at that point. Mm-hmm. So I mean, look, these are two opportunities where if you want to make a major change, you do.
Now, you mentioned a bye in week 4. What are the first 3 games? I'm just curious.
First 3 games are home against Toronto, at Montreal, at Calgary. So that's
2-1 is not.
That's 2-1 to me. Yeah. That, yeah. To me, that's
2-1 is not unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But see, then comes the bad run, right? Then you get versus Edmonton, at Edmonton versus Winnipeg, at Saskatchewan versus Saskatchewan. So.
Oof.
So yeah, that's where it's yeah. But I mean, that's a CFL schedule, right?
It is.
Nothing
it is
weird about that. Nothing weird about that. So, but in any case, my point is that you know, these things don't really happen in a vacuum. And again, here's the other thing. All, you know, everything else aside, personalities aside, everything else aside, who is the number 2 quarterback in Hamilton right now? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Joe
That's
Pritchard.
The thing. Right. Could be Henry Burris. No, I know it's not Henry Burris. Mm-hmm. You've got to, and we think that all number 2 quarterbacks are important in the CFL, right? The number 2 mm-hmm. quarterback matters. So I think that even a dude like this deserves consideration. If Vince Young gets consideration last year in Saskatchewan, he does in Hamilton. He just does, you know.
Well, here's
issues aside,
you've been remarkably quiet. Are you like plotting to become Hamilton's backup quarterback?
Well, I would have to beat up Vernon Adams first. I don't think that's very likely, but I would trust him a heck of a lot more with the CFL team right now than I would Johnny Manziel. So that resolves mm-hmm. itself there pretty nicely for me.
Maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
And you know, and here's the thing too. Generally speaking, I mean, despite I know all the lawsuit nonsense and all that. Generally speaking, ticket sales in that city for that team are pretty good.
Yeah.
You're not looking at a 3/4 empty stadium. You're not looking at sort of a desperate situation. I just don't see risk and reward. And to me, the risk on this one dramatically outweighs the reward.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, all right. We can leave it at that. I'm sure this story won't end by the next time we do a podcast. So I'm sure we can talk about it more at that time. Anything else? Got anything else, Dr. Rouge? Any more rants?
No. I think I've vented my spleen enough this week. I think I've brought a little smoke and fury to this podcast this week I've either done my job or I'll never be invited back again. We'll see.
I think you'll be invited back. So what sort of methadone have you been mainlining? Major League Baseball, hockey, basketball playoffs?
Primarily Major League Baseball and then secondarily hockey. I sort of pick up an NBA playoff game sort of, oh, there's a game on kind of thing, especially when the NHL does the moronic thing of scheduling no games on a Tuesday night when teams have had 5 nights off. But you know what I really would love to see, just to watch Gary Bettman's head just like separate from the rest of his body is a Winnipeg-Toronto final with Game 7 having to be played in Quebec City. Think about that on so many levels.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, but like they say, the Leafs are going to leaf, right? I don't expect the Leafs to do too much.
They're playing Game 7 on this night, so you know, we'll certainly know. By the time most people listen to this podcast, we'll know if the Leafs are still around or if they have been crushed for the season.
And besides, we all know that we're going to get that highly traditional final of Nashville-Las Vegas. Joe, yourself, what have you been up to the past month? What have you been substituting for CFL in your life?
Chasing around a five-month-old.
Okay, I had a feeling you were going to say that. Good.
Loser.
How many yards per carry are you averaging these days, Joe?
Quite a lot, because he likes to be held and he doesn't like to be put down, so he gets carried around quite a lot. So I'm probably putting up some pretty fine numbers right now as far as that goes.
Yeah, I had one of those.
All joking aside, I mean, I know at that age they are helpless in many ways, but they are a heck of a lot of fun at that age. So enjoy him every minute of every day. And, you know, when people make sarcastic jabs from Pittsburgh, just tell them to be quiet, okay?
Well, what about from everywhere else?
They're not important.
Yeah, because I think I had a Rider fan threaten to report me to social services because I put a picture up that he was wearing a bomber shirt or a bomber onesie. So,
wow,
that was good. That was good for a laugh.
But see, that's the thing with your son being this age. The sarcastic jabs may be coming from everywhere on the planet except one place, because he can't speak yet.
Exactly.
He knows what his lungs are, so yes, he can speak. Well, he can't make a lot of sense, but he can speak.
Right, right, right.
And then, he's audible, he's just not coherent.
Right, right, right. Right. All right, well, you know, I think that's how Peyton Manning started, actually. I think that's how he started, just, you know, stretching the lungs. You know, next thing you know, he'll be calling out Omaha. He'll be audibling his breakfast, man.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be all over it. In any case,
chances are all three of us were kind of yellers at 5 months old, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was.
All right.
I was for sure. In any case, all right, let's wrap up this episode of Parent Corner and the Ruse White and Blue CFL podcast. For my co-host Joe Pritchard and Dr. Ruse, this is Oz Davis, and we will talk to you at some point before the season starts.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.
Is his focus in the right place?